Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress that is trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. It's a great mattress at a very reasonable price point. Comes with a 20-year warranty and a great deal for our listeners. Douglas is giving you a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That is douglas.ca/CanadaLand. This episode is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. It's never an easy call with so many problems in the world to know where to direct the money that you donate when you want to help out in this world. But what I can tell you is that when you donate to CAMH, you're saving lives. We know about the opioid crisis. We know about the mental health crisis. They are doing the work. Help change mental health care forever. Your support will help CAMH build a future where no one is left behind. Donate at CAMH.ca/CanadaLand to help us treat addiction and build hope. So, what do you do again? You're a playwright and what?
I'm just a playwright.
Okay.
And these days, I'm not even that.
No?
I haven't written a word in 3 years. I've been making dinner for the kids.
That's important.
It's been great. I would have liked to have chosen this this break, you know, rather than have it choose me. But it's turned out fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm here with Michael Healy, playwright.
You can call me a playwright.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Jesse.
This is Shortcuts.
And why is it called Shortcuts? Can I just ask that?
I had four different names. I put them to a Twitter favorite vote.
Oh. Can I have my $7 back?
This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by Miguel Borja, Jim Molnar, Jason Vizina, James Allenspach, Jonathan Salamati, Adam Blake, Styles Bitchley, Rob Bitcon, Chad Kohalik, and Tyler Hellard. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's amazing the things that we tell ourselves to talk ourselves out of getting help. Anybody who's actually gotten help knows that the process of getting things off your chest, of taking your stressors, your problems, and just like not letting them be bottled up, working through just conveying them to somebody, half of the battle is just doing that. You unburden yourself. And you know what? If you have a real mental health professional, no, they don't have magic bullets or magic words that make it all go away. But often they can help you see things a little bit differently and guide you to strategies or tools or to a new perspective that actually does help. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Because you listen to this podcast, you get 10% off of your first month at BetterHelp.com/CanadaLand. That's BetterHelp.com/CanadaLand. This episode is brought to you by Douglas, a mattress trusted by more than 200,000 Canadians from coast to coast to coast. Trust is important. There are a lot of mattress lies out there, a lot of mattress liars. And I didn't intend the pun, but it occurred to me that there is one as I was saying those words. Listen, I am not lying to you. I have experienced the Douglas mattress. It is an exceptional mattress at a surprisingly affordable price point. It is a mattress that sleeps cool, doesn't have that weird thing in the summer where the mattress gets like an oven. It's a very good product. It's delivered to your house in a box. You don't have to go to a big mattress store. It is a medium firm mattress, which is what Canadians prefer, and it comes with a 365-night trial and a 20-year warranty. What more can I tell you? Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer.
Many leaders are giving Putin a stern talking to, including Stephen Harper.
A local newspaper has expected a confrontation between Aussie Prime Minister Tony Abbott and Vladimir Putin. But instead, it was our Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, who came out swinging.
He knows he's a bully. He knows he was going to try and create this awkward moment where you don't know what to do, so you shake hands. And Harper was ready for it. And I think he was ready with exactly the right response.
He didn't go full bully and take his hand away. I think Stephen Harper had, in that moment, the right instinct and the right reflex. I thank God it was Stephen Harper in Brisbane this weekend and not Justin Trudeau.
Let me back up and set that one up because I think it needs a setup. But of course, this is Harper's John Wayne moment.
Who's more on his game right now than Stephen Harper?
Stephen Harper, it's all clicking for him. And he walks up to Putin and it's time to shake hands. And he says, all right, I'll shake your hand, but I have only one thing to say to you. You need to get out of Ukraine.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can talk about the politics of it, but the linguistics are kind of choice too. The modern construction of you need to do something as opposed to you should do or you will do something is contemporary and kind of diminishes the whole thing. Can you imagine if it was, if Reagan stood there and said, Mr. Gorbachev, you need to tear down this wall instead of tear down this wall. You know, like, I find it a depressing and ubiquitous construction.
Is it not some borrowed Ebonics? Is it not like, you need to be controlling your man? Is that not the origin of you need to be?
Well, it is from now on. I'll tell you that for free.
You've studied this guy. I mean, you wrote a play about him.
Yes.
Here is my interest in this. So this is some macho posturing, and everyone knows it's macho posturing, and yet he kind of got full points for macho posturing. And I'll explain this. Both the front page of the Globe and the Post were really, like, I think the Globe had Harper kind of chatting with Obama afterwards, which is always great for Canadians. Here we see Obama's talking to him. And the Post had this big picture of Harper with a koala and some kind of headline about, like, they're both cute, but watch out because they bite. And so he got the full effect of what he was after, this big press day for a tough macho PM. And then, like, right within the Globe, there is a editorial by Campbell Clark. And I'm going to get into it for a second here. And the Globe's front page headline was Harper, comma, leaders target Putin as Ukraine takes center stage. Ukraine takes the center stage, Harper leading the charge of the center stage event, Harper and then the other leaders, and they're targeting Putin. Okay? So then inside the headline of the Campbell Clark editorial, Harper's jab was political genius. Genius. Okay? And what follows was actually not a favorable piece to Harper.
Really?
It was actually a very skillful deconstruction of what actually went into that statement. So So Campbell writes, like, that this was a moment of theater, that this was all blowing off steam with rhetoric, that this was a cause that Harper had 100% support for, both from the leaders present and from Canadians. And in fact, there were 1.2 million Ukrainian Canadians, the vast majority of whom do not like Putin. And this was a problem for Harper because he's got to shake Putin's hand at some point. So how are you going to go back and look those voters in the eye? So this was a very skillful solution to that problem. And in fact, it had this wonderful political effect for Harper of changing the topic from climate change.
100%, for sure. I mean, this is why I say he's so on his game at the moment. Like, this is, first of all, it's a G20. Mm-hmm. So it is absolutely about theater. You know, all anybody knows about what happened at the G20 was everybody hugged a koala and Harper said something to Putin while shaking his hand. That is the sum total of what any, like, I defy you to take this thing and go down on the street and find somebody who knows what of substance occurred at that G20. Harper has been on a plane for 6 days. He's been to China. He's been back. He's, you know, he's been through Remembrance Day. He's got back on a plane. He has been, I don't know, it's like, it's 40 hours or whatever to get to Australia round trip. And he, during this period, comes up with a strategy to deal with this one moment that costs him nothing, that moves the if there's any chance that there's going to be any conversation about the China-America deal on climate change, that he's going to take that completely off of the table.
Sure.
He's going to do something that's politically delicious for his base of supporters that are Ukrainian Canadian. I mean, it is a bulletproof moment for the guy. And this is a guy who in 2006 would show up to these events and seem unprepared and awkward. And this is how far he's come.
Yeah. It was like full points to Harper, tough guy. And then like the Post had this picture of him. They shot Harper and Putin at an angle where Harper is like towering over this tiny bald Putin. And like, it's like the message that they had, like buried within the editorial package was a very thoughtful deconstruction of just how he's playing us all for fools and suckers. And yet the editorial package itself was Harper the Great. And like, it's like the message is, Mr. Prime Minister, your theatrics are without any substance. You are avoiding serious issues and you are brazenly trying to manipulate the media. And it worked. Good job. And the final words of that editorial were, well played, Prime Minister.
Well, I mean, that I feel exactly the same way. You know, he has been taught by his time in power, by these last 8 years, exactly what's expected of him.
Yeah.
Particularly in these events, which again are largely theatrical.
You know, I can understand why political reporters who spend their lives, you know, following him would want to kind of write pieces that are just like almost admiring of how well he does it. I can understand why somebody like yourself or anybody like looking at this analytically, but to the Globe and Mail, the paper of record in Canada, and the National Post, if you're supposedly serving the public, is your role to merely be kind of like admiring a politician's skill as a manipulator, or is your role to be kind of like cutting through that?
So it's the Globe's job to say he smacked down Putin, but what you should really be concerned about, Globe reader, is this U.S.-China environmental deal that's getting no play anywhere else.
That is their role. And the weird thing is they actually did that, but only online. Okay, so the headline to that editorial online was how Harper's Putin jab helped him avoid talking about climate change.
Uh-huh.
That's a great headline, right? That is an accurate reflection of what happened there. But the print version of the Globe and Mail, again, Harper's jab was political genius. So to print readers of the Globe, he's a genius. And to digital readers of the Globe, he's avoiding talking about climate change.
This happened last time he shook Putin's hand. He walked off of whatever dais he was on after shaking that guy's hand. And he said, you fucking figure out how I don't have to put myself in that position again. Because there are Ukrainian Canadians, you know, across the country who aren't going to like that photo. Figure it out.
That's right. If that's your problem, I mean, our problem, you know, in the media is like, what are we going to put in the paper today? And we often think about that, like just as things happen.
Right.
He can think about these things a little bit in advance. Is he such a genius? And like, it's so bizarre. They even, like, nobody actually has a recording of this comment. It was relayed to the press by the PM's communication director, Jason McDonald.
Right.
Like,
who let's hope is getting some sort of pay bump for doing his job better than anybody else.
I mean, it's schoolyard stuff. Guess what the PM just said to Putin? And then everybody just goes and reports it verbatim. And like, just we are reflexively doing what is asked of us. And
they allowed themselves to be spun, is your point, Jesse?
That is my point. I do have to take a second to offer a correction for something that was on last week's Shortcuts. And I am so sorry again. I'm so sorry. This is corrections. They're like, I'm correcting a correction to a correction. So Ezra Levant, once again, the story was that Ezra Levant got this memo from a school board, and it said that he would offer, that the school board would offer exemptions if a student's family would not want their student to go to a Remembrance Day ceremony, then the school board should offer them some other activity. And Ezra Levant blew his lid and said, this is obviously Muslims unpatriotically wanting to, you know, opt out
of Remembrance Day, and isn't this a horrible shame, and lots of racism and spew came out of that, and the joke's on him because, in fact, the memo was about parents not wanting their kids to go to places where there were Canadians in uniform because people with guns tend to show up there.
There was a risk.
Right. So last week on Shortcuts, you heard me say, well, as much as I hate to defend Ezra Levant, the fact of the matter is Sun News did contact the school board and did get a statement from the spokesperson and checked with the spokesperson and said, what was this about? Why were you offering exemptions to students? And the school board said, it's because of religious accommodation. Okay? That is true. I am not correcting that. That is true. But then, then there was this question of the memo itself and it referring only to Muslims or referring to other groups as well. And there were two versions of the memo, one that only referred to Muslims and one that referred to other groups. And the second version with the other groups was the one that got widely circulated to media after Ezra's thing. And I said on this show, Michael, that the school board doctored the memo after the fact. And I got that wrong. They did no such thing. The school board did not doctor anything. I don't exactly know the genesis of how Ezra got a memo that only had references to Muslims. I think it's possible that the source that leaked the memo to Ezra removed those links. I don't know that for a fact, but it's a serious charge I made, and I was jumping to a conclusion myself, and I thought I'd actually read it in Ezra's stuff, and I hadn't. My mind connected those dots erroneously. The Greater Essex School Board did not doctor any memo to my knowledge. They did completely spin the story later to say that this was about safety and security, when in fact one of their spokespeople said that it was about religious accommodation, but they doctored no memo. Canada Land regrets the error. And the lesson from this story is
there's plenty of stupid to go around.
This is the season for literary awards.
Every year, me and my friends in the book world look at each other and we're like, is this the busiest season yet or what?
It is a big, big night for the literary world in Canada. The Giller Prize is awarded tonight.
The glitziest, fanciest prize in all of Canadian literature.
Canada's most prestigious literary award.
The most glamorous prize on the Canadian literary scene. It was on the fourth floor. It had a beautiful view of the CBC building next door, and there was delicious treats as well.
It probably says something about this country that one of our biggest annual black tie galas celebrates books.
Now, look, you cut those together to make it sound silly. And you know what? All right. I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk about awards. And I'll speak as a theater artist and not as a literary person. But my personal feeling about awards, and this is, you have to take it with a grain of salt because, you know, I won a bunch early in my career, and so I've got mine. So it's easy for me to say this, but I don't think that we should be handing out awards. They take away from the, I really should have thought this through a little better before I came on here to talk about it, because the problem with awards is this.
You're simultaneously making the most strong pronouncements and mitigating every word before
that's
it
right.
comes out of your
that's
mouth.
That's right. Well, that's how I roll. The problem is this. Artists don't get paid properly in this country.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a boring conversation. It's an argument that I lost in the 80s and the 90s, you know, about whether or not art is going to be central to the society and whether or not we're going to pay for theater in particular, the way that we should. It's a boring, long lost conversation.
No, that's a great conversation.
And people your age and younger, they roll their eyes at this argument because it's long since been lost. And now, you know, the public private partnerships are the way to go to make sure that, you know, that fundraising is at least as responsible for bringing in revenue as box office in the theater and public money. And the problem is that you don't make any money as a playwright in this country, and holding out the hope of someday winning $25,000 from the Governor General's Awards, or $100,000 or $75,000 if it's the Seminovich Awards, creates a kind of false hope mm-hmm. for a playwright. You should be forced to give every dime of it to other people, is my feeling. So take this $75,000 check, and the Seminovich Prize, you're given $100,000 and you immediately have to give $25,000 of it to somebody else. But I think you should be forced to give it all away. You should be as broke when you leave that place as you were when you showed up, so that you continue to fight for proper arts funding in this country. That's my whole argument about awards.
Okay, well, that's ridiculous, as you know, but there's still a wonderful point in there. I mean, that's very silly, but what I take from it is that...
sure, it's silly, but okay.
I mean, there is no board of arts justice that decides how we allocate the money, and if people want to give big cash prizes to novelists, then that's great, and it's a free country. But what I think is reasonable and is like... what makes sense about what you're saying to me and how I'm going to choose to interpret that is that dressing up in a black tie gala after black governor generals and the Gillers and having it, you know, and patting ourselves on the back that isn't this wonderful that we televise the book awards in Canada and we're a nation that holds the written word in such high esteem that we treat it like the Oscars and congratulating ourselves for that and having Canada Reads and this, that, and the other thing. While meanwhile, a best-selling book, 5,000 copies? I think makes you a bestseller
like
in Canada.
That. Sure, yeah.
Like, I think you're still below the poverty line in the royalties for that.
Presumably.
And this obscures the fact that it is just not a viable job to be a novelist in Canada unless you happen to be in the 1% of novelists who, you know, are selling movie rights or doing things on a global scale. And there is a dissonance between celebrating the written word in such a glitzy and glamorous way while like this other conversation, like you say, is not being had anymore about like, well, if we want this stuff, then maybe that's the problem we should be solving, not how to give away $100,000.
Right. It just frosts me that you can hold that out as a kind of hope. I would rather have a conversation about properly funded arts in this country. And again, that's the most boring conversation in the, you just yawned. Like you literally just yawned. Jesse Brown just yawned as I pronounced.
The topic of how artists get paid is one that I think can be fascinating and that there are really innovative new answers to, you know.
Really?
Yeah. I'd be happy to tell you about it. It's a platform that I recently became acquainted with. That is not a topic that is lost on people my like age, which is no, you know, way to describe a young demographic anymore. No, like that is what a generation of creative people are trying to solve for, is how to get paid for creative work.
Well, I'll tell you what the solve that we were focused on in the 80s. God, I sound like grandpa. Like every time I open my mouth now, I sound ridiculously old. But we were focused on taking your tax dollars and paying me a living motherfucking wage.
Yeah.
That's not the conversation anymore. The conversation is let's take some tax dollars and pay him something, a bit, sometime. Let's get corporations to kick in.
That's because people of your generation like completely monopolize all of the various tax-based funding bodies and all sit on the juries and give your friends these awards. And to young people coming up, it was an impenetrable fortress where like, how do you even start to get a penny when you look at these mechanisms of funding? I'm all for arts funding, but like anybody who's encountering the system for the first time would take one look at it and say like, for the amount of forms I'm going to have to fill out, I'm not friends with this jury.
You know, this whole gatekeeper, this whole gerontocracy thing. You know what? Your generation, would you rather be alive now or in 1985? Just answer that question. The answer is now. So shut up about how things were different in 1985 and how we won't get out of the way and give you this arts money. What happened was it was decided on a structural level that arts funding in this country was going to withdraw. And it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
That the Canada Council and Heritage Canada are going to, on a kind of per capita basis, the pie is just going to shrink, and it's going to shrink in an incremental way. And it's a structural thing, and it was decided years ago. And I showed up just as the party was stopping. And now you and people younger than you are complaining about the fact that there was a party and looking at me and I'm like, I don't recall a party. I recall hearing about one.
I think that's because the exposure that young people get to the people who got to climb up the ladder before it was kicked away is you go to school and you've got some teacher who's got like a couple of books under their belt and they got a sweet teaching gig. And then they've also won a few awards and got some cash from that. And they sit on a jury, which they get paid for as well. And there's a racket. There's a way of being an established arts person in Canada that became like between these, artists' retreats and different fellowships.
That hard done by 25-year-olds.
Yeah.
that person who's sitting in that ivory tower with that sweet job on the jury and the he got a Governor General's Award 15 years ago and he's this and he's that. How old was he when he started? Was he 25 or she? Was that person 25? Isn't the wretched indignation of that 25-year-old, the current 25-year-old, exactly the same as the wretched indignation of the 25-year-old that I was when I got out of school in 1985 and nobody would give me a job? I worked, just Grandpa Moses. I come in and I'm just like in the 80s.
Get off my lawn.
Really, get off my lawn.
That was Canada Land Shortcuts. I hope you enjoyed it. My co-host again was Michael Healy. You can always email me at jesse@jessebrown.ca. I read everything. I respond when I can. I'm on Twitter @jessebrown. The website is canadalandshow.com. The crowdfunding site is patreon.com/canadaland. Shortcuts is produced by Andrew Norton.
Hey, Andrew, what's up?
And we'll have the next episode of Canada Land up on Monday. If you like this show, support it.
Like the top's on.
The top's on.
The pants are off. That's the genius.
Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures. And it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.